When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, Elsie.
Hello, Jess.
How are you?
I'm well.
Are you?
Yeah, I am.
Good. Everyone healthy?
No.
Oh, who's sick now?
I know. Well, my little Maymay, she started to get... I think we came to Pittsburgh and Pap had a little bit of a cold and Nanny got a little bit of a cold and then Maymay's getting a little bit of a cold. So
oh, dear.
She... it's just everybody's throat is a little bit hurty slash
allergies,
mucusy.
Right? Yeah.
You know what? It could be allergies. You're right. Because mm-hmm. Pittsburgh does seem to have more
allergies
than mm-hmm. most places. And the air quality here in Pittsburgh is kind of crappy.
Boo.
Yeah. So you know what? You might be right about that because Hunter actually hasn't been having that. So maybe I should consider giving her something before she goes to sleep today.
See if it works.
See if it works. Yeah, but other than that, though, it's been cool, and I have internet. Everybody will be happy. 40 down, 40 up. That's not bad.
Woot. Well, I know.
I know.
Woohoo! Speak.
So at least for this week.
We won't have any issues. That's true.
That is correct.
Gotta tell you, I'm loving the internet speed.
Yay!
So that's been great.
My tonsils were all messed up. I definitely have allergies.
I know.
I went to the doctor last week, and he gave me Flonase and also an antibiotic, which I hate taking medicine so much. So I'm trying to avoid it, but Scott won't let me. But it does help, I guess. I mean, I can't believe that I've grown into allergies after 41 years of not having them. But whatever. Right. I have allergies. And then yesterday, well, so I got freaked out on Sunday. Like, we were eating dinner. And we had gone to the Amish market and gotten some seafood and we...
Wait, to the what?
Amish market. We have an Amish market.
Oh, okay. Amish market. Okay.
It's like a farmer's market, but mostly run by the Amish.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had brought home shrimp and crab cake and he tried a bite of shrimp and he was like enjoying it, but it was too chewy for him to swallow. So we were like, he would like chew it, spit it out. Chew another piece, spit it out. It was kind of like bulimic's way of eating shrimp. And then and then he had crab cake. And then I noticed like the side of his mouth all the way like... Like, the whole side of his mouth was, like, bright red. Not swollen.
Yeah.
But full-on red, like a sunburn, like a horrible sunburn. And so, of course, naturally, Scott freaks into, he's going to stop breathing. We have to take him to the hospital. And I was like, no, he did this with cinnamon. You kind of just have to, like, so, you know, we called the doctors, told us to wait it out, whatever. But then yesterday, and I'm hoping these are unrelated, he was perfectly fine. No problem whatsoever. Like, did a burp after nap and then food. Poured out of him. He just vomited up everything he had ever eaten and then was mostly angry because it got on his shoes. He was
right.
Like, shoes! Like, apparently yelling about it. I wasn't with him. He was at school, so they had to call me and give me a plastic baggie with all his stuff in it. And like,
sweet.
It was pretty gross, but like, he hasn't thrown up since. Like, and I think he has this game he plays with himself where like, he likes to stick his whole hand in his mouth because he's an idiot.
Yes,
and every time I'm just like, please don't do that because he has gagged. I think he may have made himself throw up, but still he can't go. He's home today. Can't go back to school for 48 hours. But I mean, health wise, we're all fine except for a weird vomiting incident. I guess that's just what kids do, right?
Yeah. It's very interesting
how
they take
that?
It. Yeah. Well, I've told you like there were those times where
Maymay
would just wake up and throw up and then she
mm-hmm.
would just go back to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like,
That was Emily. Yeah, that's put. You know,
what?
It's Maymay. I forgot Maymay was the vomiter. I thought that was
well,
Hunter.
Well, no. It actually is. Hunter's the one that just did it this last time. But Maymay did it when she was, I think it was an allergic thing when we were in Pittsburgh, when she was more of a baby, when she was about Isaac's age.
Oh, yeah. It's allergies.
And I was like, what the heck? Mm-hmm. Because it was, I was like, why are you not bothered by, like, it bothered me. I had to clean everything up, but she just would have very easily just slept in her own vomit.
Oh, I know.
You know, and I'm like, what? So
one time he did it at the dinner table. Scott was shoveling food in. Oh my God, he was shoveling it. He did actually eat shrimp that night too. Anyway, he was shoveling it in at an alarming rate. And Isaac was having the time of his life. Then he gave him a taste of refried beans and everything came back out on the table. And then he stuck his hands in it and mushed it all around.
Yeah, great.
I was ready to kill somebody.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I was so horrified. But yeah, I guess this is really grossing out the...
I know, everybody. This is... Hello, good, happy week.
Hi, podcasters.
Hello, guys. Hello. Vomit on Monday.
What are your kids going to be for Halloween? Well, we're slightly interesting without talking about that. So
yes, we are. And actually, it's after Halloween for most people.
Oh, right.
But
no,
but,
it's actually on Halloween. It's Monday.
That's right.
So what are you going to kids? Monday. Where are they going to be for Halloween?
Yeah. So my baby, my 5-year-old, she is going to be what's his name from Paw Patrol? Not Marshall. The other dude, Chase.
Chase.
Yeah. The cop, mm-hmm. The blue cop, mm-hmm. From Paw Patrol, because she really is a dog / wolf. She believes in her heart she is that.
Yeah, I do
and
too.
Did I tell you this? We went over to a museum in, it wasn't a museum. It was like one of those nature centers over in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. It's this arboretum type place.
Oh, I love
gorgeous,
those places.
Gorgeous place. So we walk in there and they have this incredible exhibit of basically every wolf in the mountains.
Wow.
Like all these different types. Just stunning pieces of, you know, the stuffed ones, of course, which is a little freaky at the same time, but they were so beautiful. And May was like, Mama, my people.
Oh my God, I was just going to say
that. And I was like, when you meet her, when you talk with her, she will bark at you back.
Yeah.
Like, that's what she does.
She does, it's more like that. But she does have a dog-like, have a dog energy, I guess.
Yeah, so then that's what she wants to be. And then, interestingly enough, Hunter chose to be a she-wolf. But we talked May out of wanting to be a werewolf because it was a scary costume. I mean, it's really scary costume. And I was like, I don't want to have that thing around your face the whole time. Mm. And I, you know... So anyway, but then Hunter chose to be a she-wolf of some kind, but her outfit looks more like a normal outfit for a teenager.
You should probably send that to Clarissa.
Oh my God, yeah.
She would love it.
Yeah. So anyway, Hunter's got like these wolf hat thing and glove things and booty things and this like ripped up sort of dress with like jagged things, but it's very cute. Mm-hmm. So she is some kind of she-wolf. What about Isaac? Did he pick anything or did you pick it for him?
He sort of picked it. We went to the Halloween store and I showed him Elmo. I sort of gave him 3 choices at one time, like, because I found them all at the same time. But I was like, oh, look, Elmo. Oh, look, a policeman. Oh, look, train conductor. And he looked at the policeman and went, bye.
Oh, okay.
And he looked at Elmo and went, bye. Like, that's the thing. He doesn't say no. He just says bye.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah, it's kind of nice, actually.
It is nice.
Also, it feels a little dismissive. Because he'll be like, talk to the hand. Bye, Mom. I was like, hey, I'm not leaving. What do you mean? It's a little hurtful. But so bye, policeman. Oh, and I was like, okay. Or like when we first pick him up from school, that's his way of saying, get me the F out of here, is he'll go, bye, doors. Bye, guys. Bye, guys. Mom. Bye, guys.
Oh,
bye, guys.
Gosh.
And I'm like, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. And then at one time he's done this, he went, bye, guys. And I was like, all righty. Better go. It's a bossy little boy. Polite, but bossy. So, so he's going to be a train conductor.
Oh, he loves trains, though.
He loves trains. So it's going to be conductor hat and kerchief and overalls. And then we're going to have a little birthday party for him on the 5th, actually.
Well, that's exciting. Yeah. Is it going to be train?
Yes, train-themed. Yes.
Yeah.
Not that's sure how, time. But I'm going to do chugga-chugga tutu because he's 2.
Oh, see, you're so... I was just
I'm not creative. I looked it up on Etsy.
Oh, well, still, though, you know, the reason that I had any kind of remotely interesting art things is because you sent me, I was like, what do I do with the party? And you sent me, like, the pictures. I'm like, oh, this is an easy one.
Pinterest and Etsy. If you're doing a birthday party and you don't look on Pinterest and Etsy, you're just having pizza and cake.
Yeah, I was so excited with the art stuff.
Yeah.
I was like, ooh, this is so easy. And the kids totally loved it.
They did? And, yeah, you never showed me. Yay.
I never did, right? It's like handprints. I made, you sent me, it was like these hand, like you basically
the
make.
Fish?
Yeah.
Yeah.
From a handprint. Now, I just cut everything out previously, so they didn't have to deal with that. And all I had to do was buy googly eyes. That's it. And they were over at the dollar store.
Yeah.
Who knew that they had googly eyes there?
That's a new one for me.
And those little, what are those little sticks, the popsicle sticks? They had that too.
Oh, that I probably could have guessed.
And I was like, what?
Tongue depressors, this is right?
Awesome. Yeah. So anyway, yeah. It was super easy and very, very affordable to be able to do all of that stuff.
That's
and
so
make
cool.
These great fishes. Fishes. Fish.
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 Fish like meese. Instead of mouses. Yeah. Pinterest and Etsy. It's not me, but I mean... Yeah, I'm trying to figure out my little train. What are my train activities going to be?
Yeah,
because coloring is not, you know, I mean, it's okay. But like, I would like to do an art thing like you. But we're having it at the JCC and they already provide a moon bounce. And then also we're getting a guy who comes to their class and sings kids songs. Silly Joe, he's going to be at the party too.
Oh, you know what we did that's like the hugest hit in the whole entire world, which we copied from the party that we went to before, was a scavenger hunt.
Oh.
And so what we did is we went to a 5-year-old's party and then we did it for Hunter. And it's the easiest thing ever. You just buy little, like, crappy little trinkets, like a pencil, stickers, an eraser, you know, stuff like that. And you just look for different places around the area. They are super simple stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So, and then you gather the kids around and you say, you know, you give them a clue about really simple clue about where this place might be around, you know, the house or something. Like, where do people usually cook dinner? Mm-hmm. In the kitchen, you know, and they all run over there and they look for the bag. And then
so cute.
They find the stuff and everybody gets it. And they adore it. It doesn't matter what it is, but they just love figuring it out. They had such a great time.
That is so the perfect idea. But for me, not for another couple of years.
Yeah. You need to.
Because I'm lucky if they like remember to eat with a fork, much less know where the kitchen is.
Yeah, you have
is.
A little tiny. I think 5 and up is good.
Yeah, maybe.
I totally get
Even
it.
3. I think he could do it next year. Like I can say, where's this? And he knows. But like all of them to know, that's, I don't know about that.
Yeah, but it was cute. So
no, it sounds awesome.
Idea.
That sounds awesome. Okay.
All right. So let's move to some news. How about some news? Yes.
The news you can use for the informed podcaster. Podcasting news. Elsie, don't you ever get tired of hearing my voice do that?
No, I don't.
Maybe
I should do
know.
It. I'll do one and send it to John, and then he can like alternate, and then you can feel the way I feel because I feel it's awesome. But it's really weird when you hear your own voice, and
dude,
it sounds.
Maybe
dude.
Yes. All right.
Oh my God. I hate it because I sound so much like that.
I know. It's frightening. I know. I know how you feel.
Oh my God. This is crazy.
Wait, I can't tell.
Make it happen, yo.
Can't tell if it's you or the thing.
I know. Right. It's pretty freaky.
Okay, so, news.
We have some news here.
Very exciting.
Very exciting. Well, I just wanted to touch base on the way that podcasting is sort of being, it really is being taken up by mainstream media in really interesting ways, which is what I've found to be, you know, I want to kind of talk about this. So I just bumped into USA Today's podcast, which is very not what you would think. It is called Due Date. And it really, I believe it just started. And it's about having a baby. So,
I mean, from what I can tell, it's supposed to be an uncensored story of pregnant life. But like, who censors that exactly? But that's fine.
Well, I believe that this is less, I think the uncensored part is based on who's putting it out there, meaning USA Today, which if they ran a story on being pregnant, it would probably be
quite
a little
censored.
Bit cleaned up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like she had some issues during her pregnancy rather than going into the nitty gritty of what these issues might possibly be.
Yeah. It right? just says, yeah, you'll learn about me, my family, my uncensored journey through pregnancy. I mean, interesting. I wonder what caused this. I would love to hear the backstory behind what caused this to happen. Like, she's in a new job. She's not an listener. She's not a podcaster.
No.
What made them take a look at her and her pregnancy and go, we've got to do a podcast? Like, of all the things that they do at USA Today, why is this girl?
Well, it could be because I do believe she pitched it. She was just like, I think she felt a need. She felt a need to do something.
Yeah.
To, you know? And then she pitched it and they were okay. And she was like, all right, let's do it. And, you know, in a way, it's also not as high profile as doing a podcast that is a little bit more in mainstream news.
True.
Because that would be a little bit more reporting stuff. Like, I think that it would take a little bit more. Whereas Due Date is a little bit more, it's personal. So
yeah, but it's for USA Today.
Right.
That's so public.
I know. It is very public. So that's really interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
So anyway, there's Due Date and then ABC 27. And I'm not sure exactly what this is. Is ABC 27?
Did you listen to this one at all?
No, I did not.
Oh my God. The first five minutes, I was like, it's the best thing ever.
Oh.
It's so good.
Is it? Okay, so yes. ABC 27, investigators launch on Deadline weekly podcast.
Yeah. Yes. So it's ABC 27, which frankly, I don't know what city that's in, but it's not like ABC. It's ABC 27, right, which I really need to figure out where it is because I mean.
WHTM. I'm not sure what that is.
Let's do a home here and see. Harrisburg. It's PA. Harrisburg? Adams County?
Oh my God, get out of town. Look at that. I'm in.
Good Day PA. Yeah, it's PA. Okay.
That's so cool.
So, it's basically it says it's a weekly podcast about societal, political, and community issues that affect you. Amanda, Dennis, and Kendra invite you to join the conversation that goes beyond headlines and learn about behind the scenes. And I turn on the first one and she's very, anchory.
Uh-huh.
And I guess it's Kendra. She's like, hello and welcome to ABC 27's Investigators Team Weekly Podcast. Like the way they drag the shit
at the end.
Every newscast. And then she's like, just so you know, we decided to do a podcast and we liked it. Here's the first episode.
It's hilarious.
It was hilarious. And then you can tell that part is like pre-recorded because then she's like, she kind of lightens up after that. And then she introduces, she's like, Amanda's with me. Dennis is with me. And here's what we're going to talk about. And this episode we're going to talk about. And it was really interesting. It was like, why is the news so negative? We're also going to be talking about this moving scam and how difficult it is for the victims to get closure. And then whether or not, you know, through the election, there's going to be such a thing as a wasted vote. And I was like, I have to hear it. And I stopped listening then because like, I don't know why I had to stop listening, but something distracted me. But I was immediately fascinated because
that was awesome.
You only see helmet, hair, and suits. Oh, this is what. Then they start talking about, they're like, we're all just trying to get used to the fact that there's like not a camera in our face. And then the other girl was like, next time we can do this in sweatpants. And they all laugh, right? And I'm just like, this is the dream.
Yeah.
It's so good already. It's 5 minutes in. So I suggest you listen to it just because it's fun to hear like newscasters like chill.
Yeah.
And not be so like stiff. That's part of why it's good and a good idea, I think.
I was just thinking too that how hard would it be to do imagine if we had to do our show. I mean, in some way, I think that it would probably help us be better in some ways. But imagine if you had like 30 seconds to do all of our news.
And look perfect, not sneeze or cough.
Right.
Or get a phone call or
and not
like
have a
stutter.
Feeling about it and not have a feeling and not comment, because that's the hardest part where you're just like, and so-and-so has a podcast. Like you could, it's really hard for us, I think, to just say something and not already have an opinion.
For me, the pressure is the live part. Like I could do Saturday Night Live, but I don't know if I could read the news live because I'm so snarky.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You'd have to be like, you have to remove. Like, you know what would happen if you did the news? I would just start laughing. I would just start laughing.
Come on, I'd be good.
No, well, what I'm saying is I would see you trying so hard not to that it's so... oh my gosh, I'm laughing and not even...
That's funny. That was good.
That I just wouldn't be able to handle it to watch you.
Whoa!
Oh my gosh.
That's fun. That's a good time.
That is very odd.
Yes. I'm wondering if I could pull up a thing. I think I could do it. I really don't have very many feelings. So I don't know that I would be as awkward.
But you have
as
opinions. You have opinions. It's not about being awkward.
Let me see. All right.
It's the opinionation.
Let me try this article. Let me just try this first two paragraphs of this article and you tell me what you think.
Which article?
Doesn't matter. I'm just picking one off their site. A Harrisburg man is headed to trial for carjacking a woman in the parking lot of the Walmart store in Swatara Township last month. All charges against 45-year-old Michael Ortiz were held for court after a preliminary hearing Wednesday. Police say Ortiz was being chased by security officers after an attempted theft when he entered a woman's car and demanded she drive him from the store. He also threatened the woman and her passenger by claiming he had something that would give them HIV.
That was great. You did good.
I can be pretty emotionless.
That's pretty good.
I mean, now that I'm reading it, though, differently, it's hilarious.
It is, especially the last line,
so
which
mean.
Is bizarre. It's so weird.
It's like the meanest thing you could do is just be like, drive or I'll give you the clap. But
that's horrible.
But it's a pretty horrible crime. That's a good one I picked there.
Yes. My God.
But anyway.
You did really well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, I think I could, you could probably do it too. It's just like doing your robot deal. Like, you're not, I wouldn't laugh. I mean, it was hilarious. It's hilarious when I'm listening to it because I know it's you, but like,
well,
if I were playing the game, it's amazing.
Yeah, I know. I think it would be kind of fun. So, yeah, you'd do good. So,
my dad always thought
I
would be a newscaster. He was disappointed
when
I didn't. Yeah, he thought I'd be the next Katie Couric. I was like, I'm nowhere near that cute, but thank you.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
With a sense of humor.
Yeah, I'm way too funny to be Katie. Yes. I mean, me interviewing Sarah Palin, how many times was Katie like, wait, I have to stop the interview. Wait, hold on. Did she really just say that? Oh, my God.
Oh, my
God. Back to it. Yeah. That would be hard. That would be hard for me.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think for most of us.
Okay.
So,
all right.
And the last one.
The last
is this one. It's called, well, actually, the headline says, Gen Tech's podcasting debut taps science podcast geek chic. All right, so the reason I found this to be kind of interesting is because the website that I found this in is called Fierce Pharma. And, you know, I don't know about you, but when you hear about Big Pharma, what do you feel?
Well, my sister's a pharmaceutical sales rep, so, and there's actually a lot of those companies here, like AstraZeneca is based here, and it's actually right, I could walk there, it's down the street. And there's one in Philadelphia that's really big, too. What is the name of it? It starts with a W. Doesn't matter. The point is, I think I have probably different associations than other people. Like, they probably think pharma's the devil. But I know scientists, like, I have good friends that are scientists that work at AstraZeneca. And my sister sells the drugs. And I know that she's very passionate about helping the doctors medicate their patients correctly. And she's not really trying to hurt, you know, they're not really given incentives to hurt people. But rather, like, hey... I mean, in fact, she gets very irritated when doctors won't see her because she's just like, fine, treat them with stuff from the 1920s then.
Right.
You know, she gets really irritated that they're not doing what's best for their patients. And so I probably have a different view than most people, but Fierce Pharma is a great name for a website no matter what you talk about.
I know. Well, see, this is what I'm talking about. We all have different opinions about, like, about Big Pharma or even pharmaceuticals in general, right?
Yeah, well, that's a different story. I hate taking drugs, but yes.
But what I found so interesting was the topic of this podcast. And I thought, this could be a really interesting way of educating the public and even changing perceptions and really sharing a lot of the positive things that are going out on there or actually just allowing for there to be a deeper conversation than like, oh, that sucks, or I hate this, or I don't want to take that, because that's kind of where I come from. So I have a stigma based around pharma where it's like that it sucks.
I don't want to take
basically.
Stuff either.
Yeah.
But I don't hate the people that sell it. I guess that's the difference.
Yeah,
I know they
and
work
so,
really hard to do a good products.
And then that's
Merck.
What I'm thinking about. I'm like,
that's
Merck.
The one that's
oh,
here.
That's
Merck is
right.
here
Merck.
In Philly.
Okay, so there. What's interesting is, so here's a little bit of the description of this. It says, while podcasts are not typical marketing content vehicles for pharma, that's true. Mm-hmm. General science podcasts now number in the hundreds. Some of the more well-known ones include astrophysicist Neil deGrasse Tyson's Star Talk and Radiolab, which is also
you know who
a
Neil deGrasse
radio
Tyson show. Is, don't you?
Yes.
Okay,
yes. Cool. Podcasts overall are growing in both audience and programming, so it's got some stats on there. And so what they did is that they started to bolster the reputation, which is why they put this out there. And really, it's about kind of like talking to the scientists that are creating some of these things, which is sort of like kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
To bring understanding of science and scientific inquiry into the mainstream and meet our audiences where they're consuming content.
It's very cool. I think science podcasts are incredibly cool.
Yeah. So,
and I think Neil deGrasse Tyson is one of the most hilarious scientists ever.
That's why his podcast is so famous.
He used to be a championship ballroom dancer.
Get out.
Shit you not. Sorry for those who don't like that word. But no, I'm not kidding with you. Neil deGrasse Tyson. I saw recent large afroed photos of him in dance costume. And he looked like one of the Jackson 5. He was like in a Jackson 5 vest type leisure suit item. And it was fantastic. I've never seen anything better.
That's cool.
I mean, way to be a well-rounded dude is all I'm saying.
That's extremely
well-rounded of him. Like, not to hole up in his little lab staring at stars, but he also, you know, boogies his little tushkas off. I think it's great.
That's awesome. And we all need to
wiggler.
Have...
I love it. Oh,
everybody
sorry.
Needs to be... Are you dropping again? No, but even better,
usual.
Though. Even better, though, check out the name of the podcast, which is kind of fun. It's called Two Scientists Walk Into a Bar.
Love that.
I know,
even
right?
better.
It's even, I know. And so it says it'll be featuring scientists from GRED, Gentech's early scientific research and development group talking about topics from cancer to superbugs. So it should be kind of interesting to kind of learn about all of the stuff. So anyway.
And just so you know, if you're like me, you don't actually have to listen to the podcast. You can just feel good in knowing that you are
you
happy
know about
it exists.
It. Yeah, exactly.
That's me. I root for it. But I don't have to listen because I'm sure there are people who listen to this show right now. We're talking about all these shows and they're like, I have to listen to that. There's no pressure. You don't have to do anything you don't want to do. Just be happy it exists in the world. That's my stance.
That is, it's good. And if you do, you know, listen and report
well,
back.
Well, right. I'm not saying listen.
We should totally do that. So if one of you guys are listening to us talk about these things and you're super intrigued and you listen to the podcast, why don't you come back and report on it and say, well, that was a really good one or that totally sucked or, you know.
Yeah.
Because there's been times when I have seen – this is so – it's such a challenge because there's some people right now that are incredibly adept at doing online marketing or they've been bloggers for a long time or – you know, they know how they're copywriters. And so headlines are fantastic. The copy is great from blog posts. The way that it gets out is really intriguing. It does get you to, you know, listen. And then you listen and I'm like, oh my God, this is awful. And so it's sort of like, and so I feel kind of bad sometimes talking about these podcasts that we haven't really listened to. Because it's not like we're endorsing them. We're reporting on
them. We're reporters.
We're reporting on them too, so that you guys see what's out there, what the different topics are, and you might be inspired.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'd love to. If any of you guys listen, send in some feedback. Audio feedback would be great.
Yeah. Let us know what you think.
For you to tell us.
And if you don't know the links, you can just click the little three buttons on the right there and hit our show notes. It'll link you right to it. Or you can go to shepodcast.com. Speaking of people who are adept at marketing...
Yeah.
And online stuff and stuff that you're not adept at. Team Podcast. We have to talk about Christy at teampodcast.com because if you are just listening to our show for the first time, they are the outsourcing Mac Daddy for all the stuff in your podcast that you hate doing, don't want to do, don't have time to do, aren't good at doing. So they do everything. They do your social media. They do your show notes. They do your editing. They do the blog posting. They will write the stuff for you. They will transcribe for you. And then they'll shine your shoes when they're done. So it's like amazing. They can do it from all the way in Florida at the Keys.
Shine your shoes.
In Florida. So it's amazing. Actually, no, but she's one of the, she's a very sweet lady. If you want to learn more about her, we actually interviewed her a little while back. So you can like go back and hear
more
about her. But check out teampodcast.com because they are awesome. And I know the podcaster's laundry list is significant. And so they try to help with whittling that down.
And I have to say that it's only getting longer.
It's only getting longer, especially for the next thing we're going to talk about, which is advertising and sponsorships, people. Talk about a laundry list. Boy, y'all don't talk even about, know.
Oh, my God, yeah. So this, okay, so.
Y'all don't
This was really
know.
Interesting here, Jess. What do you, because, oh, gosh, this is, anyway. Here's an article, and I don't know, did I post this or did you? I can't even remember
which,
who does what.
Which?
This what one mean? Is called Ads and Internet. Should we have to pay
I
to get rid of
I posted
the
it last
ads?
Week, but we ran out. We, I didn't oh, think we would
right.
have time for it, so.
That's right. So
just moved
I click through this thing, and this is actually on NPR. So if you guys want to listen to this interview, because this is actually an interview with Tim Wu, who is he just wrote a book called The Epic Scramble to Get Inside Our Heads. Actually, The Attention Merchants, The Epic Scramble to Get Inside Our Heads.
Mm-hmm.
And
hot topic.
It's a really hot topic, and it was, to me, I have, in fact, this exact problem that he states here was happening to me as we were reporting on the last podcast, on the last stuff, because I was going to their website and I was trying to get rid of all the crap. And this is what he says. He says, I think you spend, this is quote, I think you spend 50% of your mental energy trying to defeat ad systems, Wu says. It's amazing that we've got this great scientific invention, the web and the internet. And then it has come to the point where using it reminds me of swatting mosquitoes. Unquote.
I think it's way better than it used to be. Is it just me?
Well, what are you talking about? No, dude, I'm trying to stop the crap from coming in my face. Like, I can't read articles because there's video playing
in my
face.
Is that on your phone or online?
Both.
On the phone, I have to say I'm way more Both. Irritated on the phone. The phone is... Phone articles are sort of my nemesis lately, because not only do you have to get, it's impossible to get rid of a pop-up on the phone, but then also you only get two lines and then it's read more and then you go to another page and then like
this,
there's a lot of times
people
when something
do that?
I want to
so
see
annoying.
Every paragraph is another page. It's like 10
yes.
pages of, well, because they want more click-throughs and it's just so
lamest
annoying.
Thing ever.
That is annoying. I will say yes. But like websites, I feel like. I don't know. I guess, you know, I don't have that many pop-ups, although one did scare the bejesus out of me about an hour and a half ago because I didn't know that it had popped up. It was behind my, and I couldn't find what was open, and it was a video. And it was anyway.
Yeah. But that's what bothers me.
I don't mind the banner ads on the side of stuff. And I mean, I know that they get bigger and smaller and bigger and smaller, but I wouldn't say I spend 50% of my energy. That's a lot of energy. 50% of my energy is like worrying about how many emails are crawling up my inbox. Like, if I have to spend the other on ads, I'm just going to jump off a bridge now.
I think that what he's, you know, it's interesting because I'm an information, that's part of my job is information, culling through information, you know, curating content, sort of making decisions for other people so that they don't have to go through what I'm going through.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say that there's times when I have not shared an article because I know what the experience will be like for the person clicking through, even
that
though that article
sucks.
Is really good, because I'm sitting there trying to, where's the art, like reading it. I just want to read it. And then there's all of these pop-up ads coming up in front and just stuff that moves along the page. That I can't stand, where I'm scrolling down
yeah.
and the ad scrolls down with you.
I'm like the 1% of American people that's like, huh, that's interesting. How'd they
really?
Get it to do that? Yeah,
oh
like
God.
I
cannot stand
it. You have
it.
To realize you're talking to
away.
A person who at age 12 used to pull out magazine advertisements because they were interesting or sold the product in a cool way and put them in a scrapbook, like an ad. Like I had an ad scrapbook before I was even in high school.
What?
I'm such a nerd when it comes
you
to
are a nerd.
When it comes to advertising. Huge scrapbook of ads. I mean, definitely the I mean, I tried to see how many like absolute ones I could even find because there were just so many and just boggled
oh, yeah,
my mind. Like,
ones.
Who's designing? But it wasn't even like the concept or that they were cool. It was just like the backstory. Who's designing all these vodka
yeah.
bottles? Like, who's the guy that's coming up with a goldfish or like a fireworks? Like, it was amazing to me. The creativity was amazing to me. And so, like, yeah, like when I see pop-ups, I'm just like, again, I'm just like, wow, I'm like Don Draper. I'm like, well, that's interesting. How does that work? And like, what kind of software do you need to do that? And who thought that up? And how much does that cost? Like, I never get bothered by it. But like, I'm like the probably only person on this call or any call that feels that way.
Well,
so I'm a hard nut to crack when it comes to this. But the question is not about the pop-ups. The question
no,
is,
not.
how free web content traps people into an abyss of ads and clickbait. The question here is, should the internet be for free, or should we now pay for? Well, should is not the right question. Is it? Is it? I mean, Wu is saying, like,
I think
he's saying we have to do it.
I think it's a type of payment. So this is intriguing because I kind of put a quote here. Mind you, we could discuss a couple of paragraphs in this article and go deep into all of that stuff because there are so many issues that he raises around advertising and how. And it's really interesting because there's been so much development around advertising to get people to click, just to click. You know, that there's been so much research that's been put in there that it really has become, it's like they're focusing on the lowest common denominator, which a lot of people do. And it's just the level of development just to get people to click is sucky. But check this out. This is like a quote that I kind of wrote through here. And then he says, quote, "This attention merchant model has spread to so many areas of our life where we're completely used to everything being free. But then the payoff or the exchange is that then we also agree to stuff that is compromised because it's always trying to get us to click on ads at the same time. So we have this bargain that we made, and you can call it Faustian, you can call it whatever you want, that we have decided that we have to have everything for free, and I think we're starting to pay for it in terms of our mental states." Unquote.
And then he says, like, if you really want to change, you probably have to pay for stuff. And then people are like, oh, my God, I have to pay. But they do because they pay for Netflix and HBO and Hulu and stuff. But, like, I don't want to pay for the internet.
No, I'm happy to. Well, see, but here's what I am happy to pay for. Like, all the apps that I have on my phone, like even the free ones. If there's an upgrade, I'll take it right away.
Same. I never give a second thought to a dollar for an app. In fact, even $5, I'll be like, do it. Because it makes
the
my
ads,
life.
Please.
No, not even to remove the ads, well, although that's true. But also because just the extra features, it's like, why am I going to use the D-bag version of this app when there's a good version of it? Like, why am I suffering?
Exactly
why make myself suffer over $5? It's not, your principles should not be that strong. It's $5. You will waste more than that at Starbucks.
Yes, you would. And
it's a lifelong purchase. So just do it.
Yeah, totally. And you're supporting
little,
you know, the
developers. Yes.
But still, but in any case, I will absolutely 100%
with you
choose to get those ads to go away because I can't stand it. They keep on popping
well, so, but
in
here's
my
the
face.
Next question is like, I mean, what he's suggesting, though, is not necessarily free internet, but we would have to pay. So like BuzzFeed, for example, like that one I'm on a lot. So what he's saying is, like, I'd have to pay to get rid of the ones just on that. It would be like apps where you'd only be able to pay for the one site. And then after a while, you're $100 because you read so many things on a regular basis. And I wouldn't want that. And then it's like, well, would you pay, like, for a Netflix of internet where you have a certain amount of people that are submitting content and for $10 a month, it would be ad-free, but for the entire internet. But the problem is that each website controls that. You'd have to be like whatever you call it, ad-free compliant in order to be part of the $10 deal. And then it's kind of like, well, how's that? I mean, I'm just thinking in terms of like total technical semantics and not morals. Technical stuff, like each website would have to have their own premium version. And then it's like, do you create a whole separate version? Because the stuff is dynamically inserted and built in as part of the code. Now you have to create a whole code-free version of like a site like Huffington Post. Oh my God, right. It's like tens of thousands of web pages.
Yeah,
you could never take it out. I mean, maybe you could. I don't think you could. And the way I design, you can't. Like if it's a WordPress site, forget it. So
I think that maybe like what I would pay for is, you know, the way that the majority of the content that I consume is done via feed reader. So, you know, I use feed readers and I just add their RSS feed in there and I scroll through a bazillion, jillion different sites. For the most part, I just look at headlines and then I click through to see the articles. And what I love is when I can read the entire article inside of that app. So I really just get the text.
What feed reader do you use?
Right now I'm using Feedly.
Mm-hmm.
I use Feedly and Unread for both for iOS, but I've been sticking with Feedly a little bit more as of late because Unread has been, I have too many, I don't read it enough as much as I should, and it crashes it a lot of the time. And sometimes I only have a little bit of time. And then when I open that up, it takes forever to load. Mm-hmm. And by that time, I'm done.
Forget it. Yeah.
So then, but Feedly has been working really, really well for me, both on iOS and on the desktop. And I like that because then I can really easily just read the content, because that's what the problem is, that I, at the root of this problem is, you're in the middle of reading an article that is important or that you really need to understand or that is very well written and it's evocative and all this stuff, and you're in the middle of it and then you see a flashing costume for you know, something I clicked through 3 days ago, and I'm like, oh yeah, I have to buy the costume for the girls.
Mm-hmm.
Click, and I'm off into Halloween land.
Yep.
That's the problem, because they've gotten so good at serving you ads that you in some way are invested in. Like,
yeah, stuff you've already looked
at. A reminder, mm-hmm. right? All those little tiny, what are they called? Crumbs?
Mm-hmm.
All the crumbs. Yes, the crumbs, the internet crumbs.
Internet, that they yeah, put in digital there. Breadcrumbs, yeah.
Yes, and so it's annoying because in the middle of you trying to focus on one thing, they're pulling you away, and it's not even, like, Facebook automatically does that because they have a news feed, and you just lose hours of your life just scrolling through that, but it shouldn't happen when you're trying to read somebody's content that it's not about going to Halloween. That's what makes me crazy. It's helping my... our own self-imposed ADD.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just helping that. So that's why I'm a little bit...
But would you want to pay for ad-free internet? Is this the question. Would you pay for it? And how much would you pay for it? Would you pay $50 a month?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. You know what? I think I would consider it more if my girls were starting to use the internet more. Like, the older they get, like, if they get to be preteens or teenagers and they're doing a lot more work online, I think I would consider ad-free a lot more. Absolutely.
Hmm.
I would rather remove the ads from them because they, you know, they've never really watched regular television. They're only used to watching things like Netflix and things like that, right? But I can tell the difference whenever we come over to Nanny's house and, like, there's a show that they're watching on, you know, Disney XD or whatever, you know, that they're watching on there because they have cable, that whenever the commercials come on, they're like zombies. Whoa. You know, because they don't see commercials, they don't see that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So they're really easy. I could see how it impacts them, and then all of a sudden they remember the toys that were being advertised. Oh, mom, remember that one pink thing that about the stuff? I want one of those. You know, it's like they wouldn't even know that thing existed if they wouldn't have seen
yeah.
a commercial for it. So that's what I'm saying. I think that if they start to get bigger, yes, I would. I do consider if they were doing heavy internet use, I would totally do it. Bye-bye ads.
Yeah.
And I would pay something like $50 a month.
Hmm.
Yeah. Does that make you happy?
I don't know.
But the reason I'm saying this is that, you know, are we going to get to a point like that, that it's like
I just worry that if there does become ad-free internet, that the one that is full of ads is going to be, you know, it's like Facebook groups. The ones that don't allow ads are tolerable, but the ones that don't have a policy, all it is advertising. And I just worry because the internet is still somewhat of a combination of both.
Right.
And, like, once it becomes that one is regulated, the other one is going to go just hog wild, intolerable. That's what I worry about.
Well, it could be. And especially for, you know, as things start to change for podcasters and things like that, too. Because, you know, you're working in the industry. So how does that affect podcasting? And speaking of that, let's move to the other, because I'm sure we can bring it over here. This other article about endorsements. Endorsements in podcasting. Is there a need for regulation?
No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, it depends on, I mean, most people would say yes, but this I think is talking more about, like, medical
audio
stuff.
Because right now I think what's happening is
paid
in
brand
the audio world.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. In the audio world, there isn't as much regulation as in the blogging world. The blogging world really does have specifics. as to the things that you can and cannot do. Like, you know, you have to label everything.
Affiliate. Only if it's affiliate. You know. If it's a sponsor, you don't. I mean, you should.
Me? Are you kidding? But anyway, but see, what happens here is that people, I guess, are concerned that if we start to talk about something, we are endorsing them, but they're paying us. So, but we need to know that they're a sponsor and that we're not endorsing them. Is that right? Like, we're just talking about them. That doesn't mean that we're endorsing them. Right?
What, the FTC thing?
Well, yeah, this thing where it's like, just because
in the guides, it says advertisers are advised that using unrepresentative testimonials may be misleading if they're not accompanied by information describing what consumers can expect from the use of the product and service. So, in other words, if the podcaster is talking about Meet Edgar, for example.
Okay.
It's only misleading unless the podcaster says it's this much a month and you can expect this much, what, I guess, off your to-do list or this much in increased productivity. The FTC also states endorsers should avoid describing experiences with a product they've never used. I mean, that seems obvious.
Sense. Right.
Although I do have some podcasters that are doing that.
Huh. But is that a choice that you know, that's a personal choice.
It's a podcaster. It's something I offered that they either said yay or nay to. Endorsers should also further disclose any connection between themselves and the marketer so of a product that could affect how consumers evaluate the endorsement. As in, this is my sister? Or as in, I don't know. I have to think about that last one. Okay, so the first one is unrepresentative testimonials that are misleading. To me, that is feels like it would be more medical or beauty oriented. Like if I were to be like hocking a curl cream, I have to say like it's not going to make your hair curly. My hair's already curly. Hmm. It's going to do this if you have curly hair already, which I think you and I are careful of doing. You know, that we say, I mean, Team Codcast is our sponsor, and I believe they know we don't use them to edit. However, we have used their services before.
Right.
I've used them for transcription. We've used them before, and I do know, but I think we're transparent. We know Christy. We're friends with Christy. We right. interviewed Christy. Like, she's never edited one of our shows. That's true, but I have used some of her other services. I know they're smart, and I know lots of people that have used their services, and to me, endorsement,
that's why I'm confused.
Well, because here's the thing. Endorsement, they are thinking of it as, remember like the athletes and they would be like, tough actin, tin actin. And you know that like that person's got athlete's foot and this right. is how they cured it. Or at least that's what you're supposed to think, right? That like when Jamie right. Lee Curtis talks about Activia, she's got like a lady problem that's being solved by the yogurt or something, right? But
right.
like, we're not saying that necessarily, but that doesn't mean it's endorsement is probably the wrong word. It's like advertisements and endorsements, I think, are different. So this is saying concerning the use of endorsements and testimonials in advertising. So they are separate. Endorsements and testimonials, obviously, are separate. Testimonials, that's obvious. But endorsements and advertising are different. So what my podcaster is doing, and I'll just say, because like Dave Jackson is doing a sponsorship by Emerald City Editing, and I believe he edits, and even if he didn't, I believe he's had an editor. I don't know. I think he edits the shows himself, but like he's just advertising the service to his listeners. He's not necessarily right. endorsing it, except to say try them out. The guys were, you know, I didn't hear it, but like I heard it was a great read. They seemed really happy. No, I actually did hear it. I just don't remember it. But like, it was a great read. It stated what the services were and to check them out if you're interested. He didn't say anything about like, they're the only ones I use, because that's false. That's misrepresentation.
Absolutely. But that's what we do with Team Podcast
yes,
as well.
Exactly.
Because we'll just say like, this is what they offer. Chrissy's great. You know?
Yeah.
I think that there's a different... there's a different feeling of it than for us to say like, this is what we use
right,
and
like
this
that,
is all we
the
do.
The endorsement
and this
is John.
Yeah, we
have,
do. That's
we
right.
We do have an
the endorsement.
Endorsement
is John.
And we
right.
endorse John because that's who we use. But like, right. it doesn't mean that we don't endorse Christy. I've sent clients to both on a weekly basis for months now. But like,
right.
you know, it's just a matter of which thing you need. one does right. one thing and one does the other thing. But I think that's the point. So, A, it's misleading if it's not describing what you can really expect from using it. B, I mean, and again, I feel like that's a beauty or a medical thing. And then B, don't advertise. It says don't. It doesn't say don't advertise. It says avoid describing experiences with a product. Like, don't say you'll get a silky smooth finish. You can't do that. And I agree. That's some fuzzy line there. If you never used Harry's razors and they're one of your sponsors, just say they have great razors and it comes in the. You can't say silky smooth finish on my face because you've never used it. You don't know. And it's a lie.
Right.
I think it just says don't lie. And then disclose connection between yourselves and the marketer that could affect how they evaluate the endorsement. I get a silky smooth finish.
Okay.
But also I get laser surgery so that I don't have hair on my face, maybe. I don't know. Or I don't know. What other connection could be made between themselves and the marketer? Maybe Christy's my girlfriend.
Right. And then you would have to have to disclose it. Right. She, you know,
she's my girlfriend. And of course she's going to do my work first because we're married.
Right.
Right. Right. We're not married, by the way. But
right.
But yeah. So endorsers should disclose whatever connection they have between themselves. So I'm trying to think of an example. Like, I mean, John is my other podcast host. Maybe that's good. You know, that's kind of a connection.
Yeah. And also, but maybe it would be something like Libsyn. Like, I would have to disclose, like, if Libsyn was an advertiser for the show. And
yes,
I would have to say
I work for them.
I work for them. Yeah,
and we do like, always say when we mention Libsyn and its services, Elsie's biased because she works for them.
Right. Totally.
So I think we're in within. Well, we're not evaluating that. We're within guidelines. But we're just discussing what they are. But like,
yeah,
it's interesting to do that from like a are we within the rights? And we are, I think.
Yeah. And I think, you know, what's really interesting as well, which is something that I've heard in other people's podcasts. And this is a line that starts to get well, I guess this would be really like bonus content for the advertiser as well, because, you know, in the podcasting space, generally you come in and you buy a chunk, like you buy like a quarter, mm-hmm. right, worth of episodes, and that and you'll be the sponsor for, you know, 3 months of a podcast. And then maybe you decide that's it for you as an advertiser. Maybe you just want to give a quarter of the year for ad, whatever. But maybe that podcaster continues to talk about you, not because they're promoting you, but because your product comes up a lot. And this happens a lot with tech podcasts and things like that, because there are certain apps and pieces of software that we use a lot.
Yeah.
And we continue to use and we will mention a lot because it's part of our workflow. And maybe they were an advertiser for a quarter, but they're no longer an advertiser, but I continue to mention them because I'm using them all the time. So it's sort of like you have to say like, well, they're not a sponsor of the show, but I'm still using it because I love it. This happens a lot with podcasters. And what ends up happening because of that is that you end up wanting to buy the product even more.
Yeah.
Because the podcaster is using it even when they're not the advertiser, even if they were before. So that actually comes into play a lot. So I don't know. But this is probably going to be a bigger conversation, particularly as the space grows, you know, because it's brought to the attention a lot. The FTC has come to see all the stuff that's happening in Instagram specifically, you know, with the images and not disclosing in certain images and people wanting what you have and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And in Snapchat, same thing. But although even Snapchat, though, it seems like there's also a particularly with stories, sponsored stories and things like that, that you can see it. But I believe now we'll start to hear a little bit more about it in podcasting, right?
Yeah. Gimlet uses music so that people know that they're like little jingly commercials. But the whole point, I don't know if I like that either. The whole point of doing a podcast.
It sounds really good.
And not, it sounds good, but like that's a radio ad. They're doing radio thing. The whole point of doing sponsorship for a podcast is that it's a host endorsed, like authentically, like in, you know, native
and
thing.
It's
supposed to be native, not set apart as a commercial.
Right. And but for them, that's what they're doing because they are coming from the radio industry and they do believe that that's really important for people to know the difference between the content of the show and what's happening. Now, I think it does in some way it's okay because there are certain shows. Like, and I think, I don't know if we've talked about this. I don't remember if I talked about it in this episode or this podcast about, you know, oh yeah, I think it was last episode or Elsie's yoga class. You know, it's a yoga class. So there really wouldn't be an endorsed ad as I'm teaching a class. So I figure for Elsie's yoga class, I would have a separate something to have my ad at probably between my intro and the beginning of the class. That's how I would set it up. And I think for the Gimlet shows, a lot of the content that they're doing or everything that they're creating has a story. It's like they're already telling a story that has, for the most part, nothing to do with the advertiser. So it would be sort of weird mm-hmm. for you to break in the middle of a movie. Could you imagine you're watching a movie and all of a sudden the actors stop and go like, hey, guys.
That's why there's product placement. If you want
to do. Yeah, exactly. Right. Well, there could be. But a lot of the time it's, you know, you can't product place with audio.
No.
Unless you go like, oh, I just opened my can of Coke. You know what I mean?
That's true.
And so you can't really do that. So there has to be this gentle way of kind of moving into the transition, whatever that might be.
I was laughing with a client this morning, Daniel J. Lewis, because he has a predominantly female audience for his podcast about Once, the show Once. Mm-hmm. And you know that Lola is always looking for sponsors.
Oh my God.
And so he was just like, maybe I should just take them. And I was like, I would love to hear the segues.
Oh my God. That would be funny. Because I've seen that. And I would love to, you know, something like that I think would be great to offset. Or I don't know, because it's like it would be so random.
Well, but there's a lot of what he said, you know, is actually, you know, there's a lot of very strong female hero types in the show. No, okay. There's absolutely no way to do it smooth. It would be awkward no matter
way.
What.
It's awkward. And yeah,
But it's hilarious even just to think of it. But like, obviously, certainly it's not an endorsement.
No.
And it certainly can't be a testimonial. It would just have to be an advertisement.
No.
And then you can't just be like, well, while we're talking about feminine anger, like that's odd. You can't do that. You can't talk about being angry. Can't talk about, I mean, even being uncomfortable. It's just like, well, what do you know about it, dude? So anyway, I mean, but it's just funny to think of that. You know, that you have to be, that you have to be transparent and not have like too subtle of a transition. And then actually the FCC just says consumers have the right to know if reviewers are providing their own opinion or a paid sales pitch. I 100% agree with that. And in fact, I would say in life, as in advertising, don't be a big fat liar. The end. Just don't be a big fat liar. And I think most of my clients are pretty cautious about that, actually. Sometimes annoyingly so, like in the case with Daniel. Well, no, I'm kidding. I didn't pitch that to him. He was just laughing about it. But like, yes, there are. And I mean, actually, there's other clients that I have right now where, you know, like I was trying to find shows for one service. They only use the other service. Even if the service doesn't care, they care. Like I have one that's like, you know, like MailChimp or AWeber. And I won't say which one I was trying to pitch for. But the person has used both and really hates the one that. You know, she really only likes the other one. And so it's like, well, I mean, both services are fine. Again, it's like with Christy and John, they just do different things. AWeber is a down and dirty, get your email out. MailChimp is like very pretty and designy, but you know, maybe you don't need all that. Mm-hmm. And I haven't seen the inside of AWeber in a while. They may do some social stuff the way MailChimp does and so on and so forth. But if you really like one or the other, you can't talk about the one without sounding like a jerk.
Right.
Like if you
you
hate MailChimp, you can't just be like, oh, and you could try MailChimp. That's not a, who would pay for that? So yeah, they should be fussy and I'm glad they are. It's just sometimes there's advertisers that are hard to fit. That's all.
Yeah. No, and it's true. And what happens, you know, that starts to kind of fall into what if you're part of a network and, you know, that your network head sells the package of all the podcasts inside of that network.
Are you talking about like an advertising network or are you talking about Podcast
I'm talking
One?
About like Podcast One. Yeah. So like, let's say you're
Harry's
part of that network
and stamps.com.
Exactly. So they have that. And then what if, and you know, and what if then you, now you,
you know,
are now,
I just saw an article about this. Hold on. I literally just saw an interview with Pathis about this.
With who?
With the guy. Norm.
Oh, you did.
Yeah,
really?
Norm.
I haven't come across any of that
the
stuff.
The Normster.
The Normster.
Yeah. So let me see if I can find it, because he said something really interesting, and it was like, it was mostly about sports. It was about sports and podcasting. And there was a little bit of a back and forth. Here it is. Let me just see if I can find it real quick. So the question is, like, I always hear the same ads pop up. Me Undies on it, Blue Apron Stamps. Is that by design? And were they hesitant to get involved? And he says, we do have a core of advertisers. All of it is direct response. There's a call to action, which immediately leads to buying a product. Sponsors can measure that. They know it pulls. The listener's much more influenced to buy something if the host is talking about it directly. Then you add in there's a fraction of the commercial load. You may get 4 spots in 1 hour long show. You may get 16 in an hour on sports radio. So they can really put in a lot more when they're talking about sports. I forget why we were talking about this.
Oh, the network.
Oh, right.
We were talking about when somebody is part of a network
that's
and all of a sudden they
thank you.
Have to sell
And the
these.
Guy said, I hear the same ones. Is that by design? And he said, yes, we have a core of advertisers. So does that mean, I don't listen to podcast one that often. A, does that mean that, like, it's not Adam talking about them? Or does each podcaster have to talk about them and then it gets inserted into their own shows?
Each podcast podcast has to talk about them. So I listen to a lot of one of my favorite networks now is Relay.fm.
That's right.
I listen to I listen to about 70% of their podcasts. And so I know who their advertisers are. They have to do an ad spot for all of the ones that they are all doing. Now, there are some, like the Pen Addict podcast, that has advertisers that are specific to that specific show, right? Because they are about pens. But they also have an overall advertiser that, let's say, buys the entire network.
Right.
So there's two. And, you know, with the Relay FM stuff, they generally at least have 2 advertisers per episode, usually 3. And they have the spots throughout the podcasts. Now, their podcasts are fairly long, so they are usually, I think the shortest one is 60 minutes, but they tend to go between 60 and 120 minutes. So it's 2 hours if you think you can sell 3 spots in there. Mac Power Users has them as well. They used to have ad red spots, meaning the producer red ones within the podcast, but now what they've done is that each co-host now takes their time to create an ad for themselves. They're basically just talking about the product, and it's inserted into the final episode afterwards.
That makes sense to me.
You know, because it's easier for them, especially when they're going deep into a specific conversation, instead of like stopping a conversation and doing an ad, they usually insert it. But it's by them. Like they tell personal stories. So it's not like use 1 password because it's the best password management app that there is. And scene. Mm-hmm. You know, they usually tell you a story. You know, my grandma just lost her computer and blah, blah, blah. But because I put 1 password in her computer, then it was all, you know, so they do kind of in depth and they do very specific things that they use mm-hmm. in there. So, yeah. So, but what I'm saying is, like, what if like they're also really specific about the apps that they use and they're really loyal to certain app developers. So what if it was like the whole iWeber MailChimp thing? What if like I was a huge MailChimp fan?
It's AWeber.
And AWeber just bought the, you know, whatever. What I'm saying, you know what I mean? Like what if all of a sudden I'm now having to talk about something that I, that's not at somebody that
Big
I
Big friggin' deal!
Well,
I'm a web designer. Here's the thing. Let me just say this. If I was doing a podcast about having an agency, building one from scratch, podcast advertising, whatever, I could very easily talk about the benefits of every CRM you can think of because I have signed up for every single one and I have canceled and then re-signed up for some of them several times because that's how flaky I am when it comes to this issue. So I have used Insightly. I have used ProsperWorks, PipeDrive. I have used Sorted. I have used Streak. I have used HubSpot. I've used Contactually. You bring on the advertisers because I could say something nice about every single one of them. I know exactly what every single one does and why I don't use them. And I'll even say, I loved Contactually. It's really, really, really great at this. It doesn't have project management, which is why I don't use it. But it's amazing. It is an amazing contact organizer. Amazing and not expensive. So
Yeah, of course you can talk about stuff you don't use. Like, similarly, because I was a web designer, I've used AWeber, I've used MailChimp, I've used ConvertKit, I've used Infusionsoft. I could endorse any one of those things. I've touched all of them. Squarespace, WordPress, Wix, you name it. GoDaddy's website tonight. I have struggled in every single one of those tools like a boss.
Webcast tonight.
But do you know what I mean? Okay. Like, I'm just saying, like, why do you have to be a current client of that? I mean, actually, if the advertiser is smart, they'll give you either access or a sample so that you can say, hey, I tried the socks on. They're pretty fucking warm. You know?
Right.
But
socks. I would love to have a
sock advertiser.
Yeah.
Well, name your sock.
A warm sock
name your
advertising.
Sock, Elsie. I like Cabin Socks, but in fact, I'm going to call them right now because they owe us money for just that mention. But Cabin Socks by Yak Tracks, YAKTRAX. These socks are wool on the outside, and then they have like the fuzzy, you know, like the.
I think you talked about them
last
time.
I did because I bought 800 pairs at Dick's last year. They have the fuzzy, fuzz on the inside, like the super soft fuzzy fuzz on the inside, and their wool on the outside, like a boot sock. It's the dream. And then even their, look at her, she's licking her lips at the thought of a warm sock. That's hilarious.
They're my favorite, dude. I'm a big. You
That's
give
the
me
beginning
socks
of our show right there.
You.
I mentioned socks, and she goes, num 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 num. So funny. But yeah, Yak Tracks. I'll even send you here. I'll even put the link in our show notes.
Oh my god. Dude.
Because I totally just did a sponsor for them.
You did. And then I'll fall in love. But then, dude, we're going to have to cut it short here because I'm going to have
bye.
To go see. But. No.
Bye.
Bye. Bye
bye. Bye, Elsie. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Elsie.
Bye.
No, I guess, I mean. You have very pesky morals and ethics, I think, when it comes to advertising, because you don't see any gray lines whatsoever.
Do.
And I think you can be just like the podcast. You don't have to listen. Just be excited it exists. But you just have to say, I haven't heard. I mean, I did say, like, this is cool. I heard 5 minutes of it. And you said you didn't listen. Like, you're very transparent. But that doesn't mean that you can't, like, advertise for it, right? Or does it?
No, that's true. I mean, I could talk about them. Like, yeah. And I think part of it, there's a part of it that's really freeing.
Yeah.
To not having done it or touched it or listened to it or watched it. You can do that. And there's something freeing about that. It's like, what a cool product. That's neat.
Well, but like, I just thought of stuff. But then like, there's my Lola. Like, we couldn't really,
right.
for medical and no reasons that are anyone's business. Like, we can't really have that. Or, you know, or like, for example, blonde hair dye. I'll use a better example for blonde hair dye. Like, we can't really.
Yeah, right.
We can't talk about that ever. Neither one of us is ever going to ever use it.
No.
But does that mean we could never take them? I mean, we do have women podcasters that listen, and what, for whatever reason, maybe they need to dye their hair blonde. Could we ethically take them as a sponsor? That's the question.
I would do it if it depends on the chemicals inside it.
Vey.
You know what
of
I mean?
Of course you
like,
would.
That's actually how I would do it. But if it's like, you know, totally. It's not going to mess with the insides of their bodies, putting the chemicals in their hair and having it soaked through their skin. If that's not an issue, dude, be a blonde. No problem. I'm cool with that. So it would be a different question.
Would you be able to take really a sponsor for plus size clothes?
Yeah.
You would totally talk about like Gwynnie B or Torrid or Lane Bryant or whatever. Like if it, what if it was a show that didn't include me? What if it was the Elsie show?
I could talk about
it. You would totally
it.
Have like a... First of all, three of you could fit into those clothes. Does that matter? You say no. Well, so there's your answer.
No, because there's some people, because I'm sure that there's people that are looking for clothes like this. Like I see the need.
Well, so
I
then
see the need.
Why is it different if it's MailChimp or AWeber? You see the need. They have the money. Just say something nice and collect your... check, like, unless you really hate the product and you know it's difficult.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, if I was a plus size woman and I had used a specific clothing brand and I was like, these clothes fit so well, they have like the greatest style, they're so cool. And then there was another one that was like big huge muumuus that had no class, they were really really dense and thick, and I looked like I was a big tent. Then I would have something to say and say, like, I'm not sure I can say anything nice about this because I do not look good.
However, that's not the question. The question is, can you, Elsie Escobar, size 2, authentically sell anything from Lane Bryant?
Yeah. I would have to talk about ethically.
Would you
like,
do
how
research to find
clothing?
Out if Batgirls like the way it feels or what? How would you know? What if it's drag?
I wouldn't do research about how fat girls like to wear their clothes. I would do research on where they're making their clothes.
Oh, you're such an Elsie. God.
In the factory. I know.
You just Elsied all over that question. You truly did. I don't know where they make the clothes, but I can tell you which brands are uncomfortable and which brands are comfortable. Not even to say that they'll ask you to talk about how comfortable they are, but...
Yeah. I mean, I could totally do it. I could. Right.
Well, then that should answer your question, everyone else's question listening about whether or not you can take a sponsor for a service that you've never used, as long as A, you really do see a need, like you said, and B, you know, that you can appreciate the fact that it exists without actually having to be a client. Mm-hmm. Like a candy box of the month and you've got 100 cavities. I would still sell the shit out of that. Because how fun is that? Candy in your... box. No, just kidding. Candy in your mail every month. So fun. There are so many in the box items.
Candies?
My husband was getting
There's
pen
so
in a
many
box.
In the box. It's crazy.
And it's he oh every God. Month. He's like a kid at Christmas. Ooh, what's in here?
How about we do some two like really quick mentions of the Weird and Wild show of the week, and then we
okay,
call
you
it
go
a day.
First.
Okay, so I found this one. It's called Phone Stories.
Ooh.
It's a pop-up magazine is experimenting with audio storytelling on the phone.
Ooh.
So every 2 weeks, a new story is available as part of Phone Stories Project. Currently on its 16th episode, each story is designed to accompany listeners throughout a mundane task of everyday thought. So basically, you call a number and the story is told to you
Wait.
On the phone. Like, as in, like, you're talking to the... You call on
it
the phone.
It talks to you or you talk to it?
No. You call it. You call mm-hmm. this number and then it... Tells you a story in your ear, and then you're done.
That's not a podcast. Is it on iTunes?
I don't know. I just know that I called a number, and I had a story told to me about a tattoo in my ear for 2 minutes, and it was not
no?
bad. No. It was like somebody talking to you on the phone that you don't have to talk back to, and then the conversation's over. Boom.
I mean, that's a super fun concept, but not sure why it can't just go on iTunes. Like, why does it have to be...
I don't know. I haven't looked if it's on iTunes
I
or
love
not.
It. It's kind
but
of experimental.
I thought that was an interesting. It's experimental, so I thought like, wow, that's kind of cool. So you call a number, and then it's sort of like you call a number for a podcast instead
you know
of going to iTunes.
I would
to
put
subscribe.
This on so. My. I'm going to put it in my contacts, and then if you're on a terrible date or like shopping with someone you can't stand,
oh yeah,
you call it because then the you person can literally hear someone talking on the other end. You're like, I have to go. I have
oh,
to take
yeah.
this.
Excuse me, I got to go. Yeah. Oh my God. That's
what
right.
it's good for. I mean, and a good story.
That's really good for. Yeah. All right, your turn.
Well, mine is Euphemet. It's a new... I mean, I don't mean to keep like talking about my clients because that's not why I decided... But this one is so cool. I just have to tell you guys about it. Like, it basically is by this guy, Jim Perry. And he's kind of an artist, art director type. But the show covers like the... It's like paranormal, investigative stuff. Kind of Orphan Black with a little bit of the show Fringe. And if you've never seen that, Elsie, that's next on your list for Netflix.
Oh, okay.
Fringe.
Oh,
it's
Fringe. Yeah,
amazing.
Yeah, yeah. I know Fringe.
He's yeah, this week. He had the guy from Ghost Hunters on to talk about that. He's had psychics on, occultist people. It's just fascinating stuff. A&E's been sniffing around him to see if they want to do a show around his podcast. So that's part of why it's interesting. But also, it's just like I don't know. It's Halloween, and I just thought you know, creepy stuff is fun.
Cool.
Creepy stuff is fun. So.
That sounds cool.
Here's the description. A show about the unknown and our relationship to it. Broadcasting from KHUH 100.3 FM in Seattle. Euphemet is a show about the strange, the unorthodox, the paranormal, and most importantly, the experiences of people living on the fringe of our known reality. So interesting, right?
It is, yes.
So euphemet.com,
cool.
E-U-P-H-O-M-E-T. But I will also put it in the show notes.
And links are going to be
the
in
show
the
notes,
show
which you can
notes.
Access if you're on your app. It's actually when you're looking at our like cover art, there's like a little link on the right there in the middle, and you can just click it and it opens up our show notes. Did you guys know that?
I know. It's pretty cool. You got to go a little deeper in the podcast app, but for any other podcast app that you listen to that is not Apple's
yeah.
podcast app, it's a lot easier.
Yeah, sorry. That was for iTunes.
Yeah, so before we go, just giving you guys a heads up again, please come to PodFusion, our one-day event that's part of the
yes.
amazing PodFest in Florida, the third
week
of February. la la la. So you go to shepodcast.com/podfusion and you get a chance to kind of work with us and each other in doing that event. It's going to be an
very
amazing
interactive,
time.
Even with very hands-on, creating stuff as we go. It's going to be so fun.
It's going to be great. And there's going to be the She Podcast Awards that are going to be showing up at the same time as well. So it's going to be awesome. Shepodcast.com/podfusion. Mm. Please come and see us. It's so worth your time at the third week of February. And when you sign up, use the coupon code SHEPODCAST when you sign up to get a little bit of extra bonus.
Some cash back. Cash or back some to cash you. Off or one of those.
Mm-hmm. Cash off. Cash That's off, it. Yeah. Cash off to you.
Yay!
And if so, you have any feedback? Do you have any feedback to tell us? Feedback@shepodcast.com.
I have some feedback. You did great this time, Elsie. This was a great show for you.
Oh, thank you so much, Jess.
That's my feedback.
Well, you can email feedback@shepodcast.com. You can use audio feedback. We love that. And what else is there? That's about it, right? You can join our group at shepodcast.com/group.
And you can find us on Facebook at shepodcast, Twitter at shepodcast. The website is shepodcast.com. Patreon.com/shepodcast. If you want to give us a buck or two a month, support the information that you've been getting. We would really appreciate it. It'll help buy our Halloween costumes this time around. And thank you so much. We really appreciate you listening and giving us all your notes. I guess John's leaving.
Yes.
And as Isaac would say, bye, guys.
Bye, guys. And again, John, who saved our episode for last time. Thank you, John.
Hooray.
For working so hard. AudioEditingSolutions.com. AudioEditingSolutions.com. You can get the Diva package and he can totally help you guys out. He's an amazing
editor.
He has your back, man.
Partner
has
in crime. Your back. Thank you so much. Thank you guys
Partner
for listening. Love you.
Mean it. The